All right, you are listening to WHFR Dearborn. This is the Motor Live Drive at 5 show, heard every Thursdays from 4 to 6 p.m. And we have a live band in every week. This particular show is pre-recorded, by the way. And live in the studio, we have the band The Dogs. How are you, folks?
Hey, Scott.
We're fine. I'm tired.
Yeah. Yeah, by my guesstimation, it's still very early in the morning for you folks, isn't
it?
That's
right.
Because you live in L.A. now.
Yes.
Yeah, we have for a few decades since we left Detroit.
Yeah, it had to be an adjustment, not just time-wise, but temperature-wise.
Oh, yeah, I'm freezing right now.
We were ready to live like lizards out there in the warmer climate, but yes.
When's the last time the three of you were out here?
We played in 2009. We played close to Detroit. We played the Blind Pig in Ann Arbor, and we had played Cleveland and Lansing, our hometown, and we went and played the Canadian Music Festival in Toronto. So, but actual Detroit proper, like tonight, we're playing, at the Majestic Cafe, and we haven't played Detroit proper since, I would say, the early 80s.
Wow. So this is definitely a long time waiting. All right. Why don't we get started? What do you have for us to get going there?
A perfect little song. We're on a punk rock holiday this weekend, so we're going to do punk rock holiday. I think it'd be a nice way to open up this little session.
All right, let's do it.
One, two, three, four. Gonna roll the dice. I got nothing to lose.
Yeah. You are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, broadcasting live from Henry Ford College. This is Motor Live Drive at 5. And live in the studio, we have the band The Dogs for a long-awaited reunion and coming to Detroit to play at the Majestic on the 8th. All right. Why don't you tell us a little bit, Lauren, about how everything got started, the band and everything?
Yeah, what decade was that? you know, late 60s. I barely got out of junior high school, living in Lansing. Mary had moved from Taylor. We have a downriver girl in this band. Moved to Lansing. I put an ad in a music store. I had our first drummer, Art Phelps, was in the band. We were just kids playing with toys. Mary came up from Detroit and corrupted us, toting a single on Elektra Records of the Stooges, "I Want to Be Your Dog," 45. And after that, it was all over or all uphill. And, you know, so we started to kind of, you know, gig around Lansing, and then Dick Wagner from the Frost, God bless him, may he rest in rock and roll heaven, brought us down to play the Pontiac Silverbell and the Birmingham Palladium in 69. And then in 72, we actually made the move to Detroit and moved down by Wayne State. And we had a nice Victorian 13-bedroom home on Avery Street that is now torn down. But we hear that area is being renovated, like where the Majestic is on Woodward and all that. So, but the story continues. We left Detroit, moved to New York in 73, hung out there for a bit, pre-punk rock, playing with the Dictators, Kiss, Blondie, and then... we actually moved to L.A. after that, and we've been in L.A. ever since. But out there, we've played with AC/DC, Van Halen, Ramones, Motels, all sorts of bands. And 2016, we're back in Detroit.
Yay. All right. Yeah, that place you were talking about that you lived in, if it did exist and it was good shape right now, it would go for a pretty penny. You could never afford to live there.
Oh, no, you can't afford to heat the place. We had two furnaces. Can you imagine?
Yeah, it was, I think we paid $200 a month rent on that Victorian home. It was a rough neighborhood in 72.
It's not anymore. It's getting pretty gentrified, you know. I mean, I would just venture to guess that if it was like in, you know, tip-top shape, that thing could go for well over $1 million.
Yeah,
easily.
We had to have a shotgun just to load our gear in the truck.
Yeah, it was great to hear that that part of town has been the rebirth that's going on in the Motor City now. It's really fascinating, and you know, with guys like Jack White moving down there, putting Third Man Records, and that's why we're so excited to be, you know, playing with Glitter Trash and the other bands tonight and see what the heck is going on down there.
Yeah, I think if you get a chance to hang out a little bit around there, you'll be really surprised. It's changed a lot.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of development, a lot of not just big development, but even small development, little moms and pops places, shops, restaurants, all kinds of nice places to eat. And
yeah, there's still people here. That's right.
They're starting to move back in now. That's the beauty part, you know, so you can't complain about that. All right, so what do you have for us now?
We're going to do something off our last album that came out a couple years ago, Hypersensitive, and this is called What Goes In Quiet Comes Out Loud.
1, 2, 3, 4... Christmas tree. The opposition. self-liberation, bringing the system down. Sit down, shut up, the people never gonna give it up. Yeah.
It came out loud, didn't it?
Sometimes it does.
You're listening to a pre-recorded Motor Live Drive at 5 show. Live in the studio is the Dogs. They're doing a show on the 8th at the Majestic Complex. All right. We were talking earlier, Lauren. I guess there was a story that you had about playing with the MC5.
We've played with them a few times.
Yeah.
We were lucky enough. First time was in 69 after Back in the USA had came out, and there was a great old-fashioned ballroom over the top of Crystal Lake north of Lansing. So we got to play with them there, and that was an amazing show. And then we actually, in 72, got to play the second to the last show, I believe, before they broke up, and their last show was New Year's Eve of 72. But we played the new Grandy Ballroom, it was called. On my birthday, November 10th, 1972, I remember it well. And the way we got the gig was, if we loaned the MC5 our equipment, we could play and share the dressing room. And of course, to our heroes, that was like a match made in heaven. And so Fred Smith playing one, Marshall Stack, Wayne Kramer on the other, and they were so great. Rob Tyner was talking to us and telling us some of the pitfalls of the music business to watch out for. And then Wayne Kramer, we chat with him, and mm-hmm. they were huge influences on us.
I went to school with Wayne Kramer at Taylor Center.
Now that is a rock and roll piece of history.
He got wow. kicked out of every high school in town.
Sounds like me. But hey, misspent youth, right? You know.
Oh God.
Oh,
well, he's teacher's pet.
Was he?
Oh yeah.
one of those guys that could do it and get away with it, right?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Yep, I get it. So, well, that sounds like a great piece of history there. Yeah, that must have been fun. Now, did you listen to the advice that they gave you, or?
You know, we try to. I mean, first off, nobody in the music business tells you what not to do because it's such a cutthroat industry, and
even back then, huh?
Yeah, I think it's always been like that, and you know, Rob said to me, I remember, he goes, when your train comes into the station, you better jump aboard because it doesn't wait. And, you know, as a naive youngster dreaming about rock and roll, I mean, I thought that was a very prolific thing.
Yeah, Dick Wagner was the only one that ever really gave a damn about us.
Yeah, sorry to hear of his passing recently. That's too bad. So, all right. Anyway, why don't we go on to another track? What do we have now?
You know, we've got, actually, it's going to be a world premiere on our new EP. We have a 4-song vinyl 7-inch out, and CIA. I'm not working for the CIA. We've never played that live. So we're going to play it live today.
All right. First time on WHFR.
First time in the world. So, you know, if I forget the lyrics, you can send me an email and say I'm lame.
Okay.
Here we go. Not working for the CIA. Justify the fight, kill them all as sacrificial lambs. It's just another political scam. I'm not working for the CIA. There might be some empathy, but I'm not working for the CIA. Yeah, come on. There's a clear line leaning to the right, but fighting with the left. I'm not working for the CIA. There might be some help today, but I'm not working for the CIA. Revolution in the street. Don't point your finger at the middle class. And you see the patience is running out so fast. I'm not working for the CIA. There might be something to pay, but I'm not working for the CIA. I'm not working for the CIA.
Yeah, you're listening to WHFR.FM, station making waves, Motor Live Drive at 5 show, live in the studio, The Dogs. All right, so Lauren, what was it like after you guys moved from Detroit to L.A.? How was the music scene different?
You know, it was a little fragmented in 75 when we actually had moved to L.A., and this was a pre-punk rock scene. The word punk rock hadn't really been came up with. So people were calling it new wave, but we aligned ourselves with other bands like the Motels and the Pop and started a coalition out there of independent thinking original bands called Radio Free Hollywood. And after we put on our first show there, got the attention of Billboard magazine, that kind of busted open the scene and got everything happening. And, you know, we ended up playing the Whiskey A Go-Go and the Starwood and all sorts of other big venues around L.A. And we did the American debut of AC/DC, their first time to America, three shows in a row on Van Halen, all sorts of bands out there. So, you know, it really started kind of exploding. Then hardcore punk rock developed in Southern California, and guys in Black Flag and the Circle Jerks would be coming to dog shows. And so we were definitely influential on that early first wave of hardcore punk out there also.
All right, that's cool. You know, what I'd liked about back then is you didn't have to, like, pigeonhole things, and you didn't have to put everything into specific categories. Shows didn't have to be, okay, you got to put everybody that sounds the same in one show, you know? You could have a variety back then, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, Martha Davis and the Motels, you had a very quirky Berkeley-based band that moved to Hollywood, you know, and then you would have the other band, the Pop, being much like the Raspberries. And then you had the Dogs, very Detroit-influenced. And people say we're punk, but really we are influenced by the bands that came out of the Motor City here. And it was just Detroit hard rock. New York punk rock scene was the same way. I thought you had variety. You had Talking Heads in their style. You had Kiss. You know, you had Ramones. You had a lot of different musical styles, but it all had one thing that tied it together. It was a new attitude, I think, from what was known as what corporate rock and establishment rock.
Yeah, not only you know, music having to be popular, but a lot, how do I put this, very like polished and very like orchestrated. I mean, I think they just went a little too far by then, you know. You know, progressive rock groups like, you know, Zeppelin. I mean, I'm not saying I don't like the band, but, you know, there's a point where you get too far and it's, okay, it's not even rock and roll anymore. It's music, but it's not rock and roll, right?
Well, not like the kind of rock and roll people like here in Detroit, I think.
It ain't Detroit rock and roll.
Yeah.
Something that's actually going to get you moving, stomping on your feet, you know, that kind of thing, you know. Or get in a mosh pit, right?
Exactly.
All right, so let's see. What do you have for us next?
Well, we have a song lead track off our new EP, Ain't Going Nowhere, and we have a video for this. And it's kind of a timely song here for 2006 and what's going on when you turn on the TV. It's very kind of polarized out there, and this kind of song kind of living in that, shall I say.
All right. We'll be right back.
Hello, Detroit. Chris is on the east side, hustling vinyl that makes that glorious sound. He's not getting rich playing records, but at least he's not the corporate.
Smoke another one, Lauren.
It's just the smog in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. It doesn't get any better out there, does it?
Yeah, it's gotten a lot better. You can actually see the mountains now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it has gotten. When we moved there in the 70s, you couldn't see anything.
It saved a lot of money on cigarettes. No need to smoke, just breathe.
There you go. I could see that, you know. So when you first moved there, it was like equivalent of the top of Cobo Arena after a concert?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
you remember those days, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, same thing. You didn't have to bring anything. You just got up there and breathed. All right. Why don't we talk about the new EP that just came out?
Yeah, you know... it'd been a while since we had our last album, Hypersensitive, came out in 2013, I believe. And, you know, the world has changed a lot on bands releasing full-length records. And we felt going back to an EP, and also we wanted to do it on vinyl. So we did a 4-song, 7-inch single on Smelvis Records, which is an interesting record company from L.A. Elvis Cortez, who's in the Long Beach, California punk rock band Left Alone. They've been out there for several years. And he's also in the Transplants with Tim Armstrong from Rancid. Wanted to put the record out on his label. And so we did a limited edition 200 pieces on white vinyl. And then we were lucky enough to shoot a cool video for Ain't Going Nowhere, like I mentioned before, where Mary dresses up out of character like the mother in Edward Scissorhands selling door-to-door cosmetics in a corporate suit that she loved to wear.
Green. Nobody wears green.
And
it matched the hair.
Yeah. And Tony reverted back to his teenage days and played... little Johnny boy trying to be a good boy with his suburban mom serving him cookies and milk. So
he did that very well.
Yeah.
Like my mom in the video.
That's got to be a hoot. I know our listeners can't tell by listening, but Tony is a very tall boy, so that had to be kind of hilarious.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to do the shoot.
And me, they don't let me out of character. It's just the guy with the generic recycled face, kind of, you know, punk rock guy. So I guess kind of played myself, so that's okay.
So how can somebody watch that video if they want to?
If you go, just Google "The Dogs Ain't Going Nowhere" video, you know, will pop up on YouTube.
YouTube, you can check it out.
Yeah.
All right, that's cool. And then you said the EP is 7-inch, but it's also available on CD, correct? Or
well, when you buy the CD, you get a download card and you could download it. But no, it's only on 7-inch vinyl.
Okay.
That's it.
So you either get it digital or the limited edition vinyl then?
It is, yeah, and you can download it on iTunes also.
Okay. Any other sites besides that, or?
I think that's it. There might be one more, but it's too early in the morning. I can't remember right now.
That's all right. You'll think of it after we're done, right?
Of course.
Do you guys actually have an official website?
We do. It's thedetroitdogs.com.
Okay.
And then our Facebook page, too, the Dogs Detroit Facebook, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you need to get any more information about any other stuff, what's happening, what's going on, biography, all that good stuff.
Yeah, all that good stuff.
Great.
Is up there forever.
Yeah, that's the beauty about the digital age, right? Okay. I heard that you moved to the UK for a short bit. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was it was like 3 months.
Is that it?
Yeah, it was like sort of like something out of Spinal Tap movie, really, what happened. We got approached by an English fellow that we had known in L.A., and things, this band always runs amok in different cities where we go. You know, we always, after a while, it just doesn't happen for us. And it got to the point in L.A. where it just stopped happening for us. So we thought we could go to England, like Jimi Hendrix, and resurrect our career. So we had financial backing, moved to London, had a tour backed up, released the Slash Your Face EP. Everything looked rosy. We sold everything in L.A., and moved to London. A month after we moved there, half the management left, and so we had no financial support. We ended up squatting in vacant homes in North London in the middle of January after a while, and it just got too intense. So we came back to Michigan here and kind of regrouped. I personally wanted to quit the music business at that point because after Detroit, New York, Los Angeles, and London. I go to Mary, I'm going to stay in Lansing or somewhere and howl and be a farmer. I just can't do this anymore. And she goes, you can't give up on the rock and roll dream. So we moved back to L.A. and, you know, we kind of got a little sidetracked for a while. It took us a while to regroup after that one. So, it was a good experience to go there. It was very politically charged times to go to Belfast and play because of a lot of the violence and the IRA stuff going on over there. And it was interesting. Kids would come to the shows and ask us what religion we were. And, you know, we knew better to say, we just said rock and roll was our religion. But it was great audiences, great times, but really cold and we starved a lot. But it was a character builder.
Yeah, I bet it was. I can imagine. And makes you like really grateful for when you do have what you have. So, I imagine it took a long time to get started back up again in L.A. because you said you pretty much sold everything, huh?
It's like Yeah. It took a while. And for us just to kind of refocus of what we needed to do as a band and stuff. So, because the scene was really changing and evolving, and you know, one thing we never did get signed to a major record deal, and maybe right now that could be a blessing in the state of the record industry, but you know, that never stopped us from still suiting up and showing up and playing rock and roll, because it was never about the big corporate deal and to validate what we were doing, but we never did, and it would have, we were the next band to be signed, but we never did. So but it took us a while to realign ourselves on accepting just rock and roll could be an endowment for the arts, and we were going to still play it at that level if the corporate guys didn't understand what we're doing. But you know, these are great times when you're seeing TV ads for Audi with Raw Power blasting, or Search and Destroy by Iggy and the Stooges. The war's been won, so you know, it's all good. I think rock and roll has won out in many ways.
It has, but on the other hand, what I don't like is the fact that the up-and-coming artists are brainwashed into thinking that, you know, the way to fame and fortune is to go on these talent shows, and they're going to get signed to this multi-million-dollar deal and, you know, all that good stuff, you know, that they don't have to, like, go through the ropes. They don't have to go through what you folks did, you know?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. I mean, not too many of those... On those three shows, not too many of those, except for Kelly Clarkson, I think, has went on to do anything. And today I saw in the news that the last episode of American Idol was last night. So, you know,
yay.
You know, God, I think if you're a young band and you just believe in yourself and you do what you do for the sake of doing it, word will spread and it will spread out on the internet. And if it's meant to be, it will be happening. And you just got to do it because you love it at any price. I mean, you know, artists, poets throughout time, they did it because they had to do it. It was an obsession. And so if you just, you know, those dreams of the pie in the sky success, I don't think if you don't really reach for that and reach for the right things to do it for on a art for art's sake, then you can't disappoint yourself, you know?
Right. I was always taught that you do what, you know, something that for the reason that you really, really enjoy it. If you make a lot of money doing it, then that's a bonus. That's icing on the cake.
It is the best money you can ever make.
Yes.
Getting paid to play music, yes.
Yeah,
yeah, I have $6 in the bank.
You're a rich rock and roll girl.
All right, well, why don't we go into another song?
Okay, that sounds good. What are we doing, guys? Do you know?
I don't.
You're the drummer. Come on.
Well, I've got your list in front of me. Do you want me to remind you?
Yeah, there you go. How about, I think you can't catch me? Yeah. This is off of Hypersensitive. You know, this is sort of, you know, goes out to all those types out there. You can always just believe in yourself. Can't catch me.
Yeah, you're listening to WHFR.FM. This is a pre-recorded Motor Live Drive at 5 show. Live in the studio, we have the Dogs playing the Majestic Complex on the 8th. All right. How many dates do you guys have for this tour? It's a Midwest tour, correct?
It's just a punk rock weekend here in Michigan tonight in Detroit, and then going back home on Saturday the 9th.
That's it?
To play Lansing.
So
yeah.
Just a homecoming, huh?
Yeah, it's just, you know, short but sweet.
Okay, all right. I'm glad that you guys made the effort to come out here just for us, and you have a show in Lansing too, right?
Yeah, at Max Bar.
Okay. All right.
And you know, Glitter Trash will be going up there with us too.
Okay.
And it's a very eclectic show. You were saying, like, there's a band called Lukewarm and the Not So Hot.
Uh-huh.
It's a friend of ours, Lee Chase, that was in the punk rock scene in the early 80s. But this band, Lukewarm and the Not So Hot, are like bluegrass punk rock. You know, so it's very bluegrass, kind of hootenanny type.
Interesting.
But with a punk rock attitude.
Hmm.
But musically, you know, and then you have Glitter Trash, the Dogs, and then there's another band. So it's very... It's like the old days at the Grandy. I mean, Russ Gibb would book, you know, James Cotton Blues Band with the MC5 and the Flamin' Groovies.
Okay. Yeah, again, variety. You made me think of a band, I don't know if you ever heard of them, Gogol Bordello?
Yeah, sure.
Tony's heard of them?
Yep.
Yeah, it's Gypsy Punk.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's cool. Definitely looking forward to it. I'm definitely looking forward to the show tonight. All right. Why don't we keep it going? Let's do another one.
Can we do it with Jenna?
You sure can. Why don't we announce it then? We have a very special guest in the studio.
Yay!
Yay!
Hey, girl.
All right.
Hey, Jenna. Fancy meeting you here in Dearborn.
First time we get to play together, too, that song.
Yeah.
I know. It was our studio, right?
Yeah. All right. When I was speaking with you on the phone, Lauren, you were saying that Jenna here has been kind of like instrumental and kind of like, you know, lighting a fire to get you guys back here.
Yeah, Jenna's been a huge, huge help partnering with us, believing in the Detroit rock scene, and... you know, she came to L.A. and met us, and we did a gig together. We went into the studio. We wrote the song Something to Believe In. And then my dear friend here has helped us get to play the Majestic and just to help us to pull this whole trip off. Yeah, so.
They weren't such likable characters. It probably would never have happened.
Well, we thank you, Jenna, for doing that. That's wonderful.
Rather here. It's a weird.
Yeah, we talk on the phone. We talk on the phone 10 times a day. Yeah. live in Dearborn. Henry Ford College.
All right, when you're ready.
So, Jenna.
Yes, Lauren.
You're the lead singer. You got to kill some time while I'm tuning my guitar. No, but anything you want to say about Something to Believe In? I mean, you know, what's going on?
Yeah,
with?
Something to Believe In was an interesting song. Basically, I met Lauren... online and Facebook. I was kind of like looking at different Detroit bands and ran into the Dogs and really liked several of their songs. So I posted one of them, and then Lauren magically appeared on Facebook, and we started talking. I said, hey, just forget this Facebook stuff. You know, we're old school. Let's just talk on the phone. So started talking to him, and like 2 weeks later, me and my girlfriend Michelle were in L.A., and the rest is history. Wrote a quick song with him and had a lot of fun doing it. So, you know, things work fast in L.A., don't they?
Yeah.
They said New York was fast. L.A.'s faster.
Well, in the world we all live in, it's like, that's the beauty of this friendship, because when things are just, it's like Rob Tyner said, when the train comes in the station, you better jump aboard because it's going to leave. And yeah, so stuff that feels right, you just do it, and it's magical.
Right. Yes. And like I said, they have very interesting story with the band, which I thought more people here need to know about. A lot of people don't know about them in Detroit, so I thought we need to get them here and train some people about the
dogs. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. And here they are.
I say, yeah.
It's a miracle. Like,
what, you've given us something to believe in.
Hallelujah!
How you doing over there, maestro?
My guitar is acting like Johnny Thunderzone, and it's not staying in tune.
Moisture. First time.
Is it a Gibson or a Tesco?
Arthur, tune your bass, Arthur.
All right. Yeah, all right. I think we're ready to do this here.
Okay, here we go.
You're listening. You're listening to WHFR.FM, and this is a pre-recorded Motor Live Drive at 5 show, live in the studio on this date, The Dogs, that are playing tonight at the Majestic Theater in Midtown Detroit, a long-awaited homecoming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah!
You can tell Lauren's excited. You're finally waking up too, aren't you?
That's it.
Are you kidding? He gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
The coffee just kicked in.
Probably takes a bit, doesn't it? So, yeah. Any ideas about what's going to happen moving forward, or?
Well, we got a pretty cool show after we get back at the end of the month with a great band, the Street Walking Cheetahs in L.A. We're going to be doing another video. We're going to actually do a video for the song Not Working for the CIA that we played in July. And we've just started. We've been approached by these young filmmakers in Los Angeles to do the dog's story, the dog's movie and documentary. So that's going to be kind of a work in progress over the next year. But they're actually feel... there's a story to tell after the 5 decades we've been around.
Anything you can tell us about that? Any little, you know, information or details or, you know, other than that's a documentary, of course.
Yeah, you were asking us about the New York days and stuff like that and the different cities that we've lived in. So, you know, they are actually going to go after and talk to Gene Simmons and Kiss, who we played with, and David Lee Roth and Van Halen, and just people like that that we were, you know, why they were all building their careers that we got to play with and stuff, and see what they have to say or if they have any memories. Oh, we remember those weird guys from Detroit. And no, I don't know.
I know Van Halen will remember us. Do you think Kiss will? We used to carry their gear around in New York. They didn't have a truck, and we did.
No, they did. When I saw them when Little Caesar was on the Triple Threat tour, when it was, they remember the dogs.
Ah, that's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was an interesting thing, carrying their gear around. Yeah, well,
we did that for everybody in New York.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll let you play with us if you carry our gear in your big U-Haul truck. So we don't care as long as we get to play, right?
Seems like you did that a lot. Okay. So,
yeah, well, Patti Smith had a song about it, but we won't even talk about the title of that. But if you think about it, there was a great song by Patti Smith about people's dedication to rock and roll.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, we have to keep it PG for the audience. All right. Let's see. Where are we at time? Okay. I see that there's two tracks on this list here that haven't been played, I believe.
I think there's
Let's Go Baby or Slash Your Face. So.
All right. Well, we got about 6 minutes to go. Can we squeeze both in, or do you think one? What's your opinion?
Kind of long, so what do you want to do?
We got 5 minutes. Yeah. What do you want to do?
If we could do Slash Your Face, that would be good.
You think that'll fill it up? All right. Well, I want to thank you folks for coming.
Sorry.
That's okay. I want to thank you folks for coming down to play for us. I really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to the show tonight.
And I appreciate the use of your trash can.
You're welcome.
Got a good tone.
Yeah, it does.
And here's hoping that it doesn't take as long to see you guys again.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Yeah. Our pleasure. Okay, we're going to finish it off with Slash Your Face.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Hello, this is Anthony.
And this is Larry.
And we're Lizard.
And you're listening to WHFR Dearborn, the only station making waves.
This is WHFR Dearborn. For the next hour, let WHFR Radio take you back in time to when radio mystery drama was king. We now proudly present old-time radio mysteries on 89.3 FM or on the web at WHFR.fm. We are excited to showcase the much-loved radio drama Boston Blackie right here on old-time radio mysteries. The series ran from 1944 to 1950, and we're proud to share it in its entirety every Thursday from 6 until 7. Boston Blackie, a detective in adaptations for films, television, and radio. He is, after all, an enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friend. So now, sit back, relax, and enjoy episodes of Boston Blackie right here and only here on WHFR, the station that's making waves.
Drugstore downtown. I thought I'd call and see how you're feeling.
A little better.
Oh?
Are you going to be home soon?
No, not for a couple of hours yet.
Oh.
Now, look, I want you to take that medicine I got for you. It's 10 o'clock, and it's supposed to be taken at 10.
Oh, darling, do I have to?
Yes, you have to.
You know how I